Good morning. It's about time for us to begin. Before we do, we'll have a word of prayer, and I've asked Al if he would to lead us in that. So we're continuing our study in the book of Genesis, and you're probably getting tired of this slide, but I'm going to keep putting it up there just for our memory's sake. Repetition's how you learn, right? So hopefully we'll have this beat in so that we'll actually remember it after the class is over, not just while we're studying Genesis. So when we look at the big picture, we're around here. Last week I talked too much. This week I'm going to talk less. We're around here, 2000, right? Christ, around zero. 500 years of. David was around 1,000. Moses around 1500, Abraham around 2000, flood 25, Adam and Eve approximately 4000, right? So again, ballpark, big picture, just want to kind of remember, and we're obviously still in this period, right? So last week we had lots of visitors. This week we don't have quite as many, but we do have visitors, so we're glad you're here. So if you weren't here last week and didn't know where we were, we're in chapter 27 of Genesis. And what did we talk about last week to set the stage? What had happened at the beginning of chapter 27? So we have Isaac telling Esau, what does he tell him? Go out and get some game. I'm going to get back where we were. So go out, hunt, bring me the food that I like. And who overheard that? Rebecca. And she comes up with a plan. And what's her plan? Deceive her husband, have her son deceive his father. So the plan is, you go get me a couple of goats, I'll fix them the way that dad likes them, and you're going to pretend that you're your brother, and you're going to get the blessing that way. So you're going to steal the blessing. So put yourself in Jacob's shoes. Your mom tells you, hey, we're going to trick your dad. Here's how we're going to do it. Does Jacob go along with it? At first he has an objection, doesn't he? What does he object to? What? He's hairy. I'm smooth. What if dad touches me? Then I'm going to look like I'm a deceiver. I will seem to him as a deceiver. No, you won't seem a deceiver. You are a deceiver. But what's his concern? What is not his concern? the deception. What's his concern? I'm going to get caught. So he's worried about getting caught. He's not worried about the lying part. He's worried about getting caught in the lie. So he's worried about being caught. And that's what his objection is. It isn't that we shouldn't be doing this, which I think speaks a lot to his character at this point, right? And again, what's his name? Jacob, what does that mean? Hill grabber, supplanter, deceiver. I mean, he if we look at him, we already saw what he did with the bowl of stew. I mean, he will take advantage of his brother, and his concern here is not his brother. His concern is getting caught. So he points that out to Rebecca, and how does she address it? She has the answer for everything, doesn't she? What's her answer in this case? How's she going to hand? How are we going to get this past your father? What did she say? Well, first of all, she says, "Don't worry about it. Let the curse be on me." So even if you get caught, and you know he's worried that he's going to that he's going to be caught and not be blessed, but instead be cursed, because he's afraid it's going to look like I'm mocking him and he's going to curse me and not a blessing. She says, "Don't worry about it. If there's a curse, let the curse be on me." So did that absolve Jacob? Would that plan have worked if they'd gotten caught and there was a curse? Okay. Well, it's not going to be God's plan. Interesting enough, though, what is going to be God's plan? For Jacob to get the blessing. So it is God's plan, but they're not going about it God's way. But so she's saying, the curse will be on me. Does that absolve him? No, it doesn't. We read in Matthew, "So when Pilate saw that nothing was being gained, but rather that a disturbance was starting, he took water, washed his hands before the multitude, saying, 'I am innocent of the blood of this righteous person. You see to it.' And all the people answered, 'May his blood be on us and on our children.' Then he released them to Barabbas, but Jesus he flogged and delivered to be crucified." So someone else tries this, or is told this, the blood's not on me. I mean, the blood is on me, it's not on you, is what they told him. But did that absolve Pilate? Was the crowd guilty? Was the blood on them? Yeah. But did Pilate get off scot-free? No, he still had him crucified, right? It still was within his power. The guilt was still on him. And in this case, I think the same thing applies with Jacob. Even though Rebecca says, "Let the curse be on me," if he had gotten caught, if there had been a curse, I don't think that quite would have worked. But that was the plan. But that wasn't the only part. What was the other part of the plan? "You're right, your brother's hairy. So we're going to trick your father. So we're going to trick your father, and we're going to make him think you're Esau. So how are you going to do that if one person's hairy and one person's not?" Okay, so you're going to go and you're going to get his clothes, and then you'll have his clothes, and then we're going to take the goats that you're going to kill, and we're going to take the skins, and we're going to put them on you. And then if he feels you, he's going to feel the goat. And when I read that, I'm thinking, okay, I've seen some pretty hairy dudes. I've never seen a guy that had hair as thick as a goat. So Esau was a hairy, he was a hairy guy. Trying to envision him, but that's pretty hairy that you feel fur and you think, well, that's his arms and his neck, right? Because he's going to reach up to kiss him. But so he's a hairy guy. But this is your plan. We're going to put these goat skins on you, and you'll be able to deceive. It also makes me wonder what Esau smelt like. And he is a man of the field, and they didn't have modern indoor plumbing like we do. But have you been around a goat? They smell like a goat. So Esau's a hairy, smelly guy. But this is the plan. So her plan is we're going to dress you up in his clothes, and we're going to put goat skins on. Mike. Join tie or snare. So she is setting traps. So that does fit. Good point. Thanks, Mike. So she's going to have him wear his brother's clothes, have these skins put on him, prepare the dish, and that should do the trick, right? At least that's their plan. So does the plan work? He gets the blessing. So what was that blessing? What was the blessing that Jacob stole from Esau? God give you of the dew of the sky, of the fatness of the earth, and plenty of grain and new wine. Let people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers. Let your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you. Blessed be everyone who blesses you. So the fatness of the earth is going to be yours, and your brothers are going to serve you. And that part, I think, is critical, because we're going to see how Esau takes that. So your brothers are going to serve you. Cursed is anyone who curses you. Blessed is anyone who blesses you. So the plan ultimately worked, but did it go off without a hitch? Was Isaac suspicious? Isaac is very suspicious as we read through the story. So what's the first question Isaac has? How is it that you found it so quickly? You weren't gone very long. You went out to hunt, so you had to hunt it, you had to clean it and cook it. How'd you get back so quick? Now, why was Jacob able to beat him to the punch? Pretty easy to round up the goats, right? They've already got them. But so he objects, or not objects, but he's wondering, how did you get it so quickly? And the answer is, because Yahweh, your God, gave me success. So he calls him Yahweh, your God. Is there anything, any meaning in that? Is Jacob saying it's not his God? Part of deception, I believe, is that's right. Because who is he pretending to be? Esau. Has Esau shown any signs that he recognizes Yahweh as his God that we've seen? Maybe he does. But have we seen anything that would indicate that? Nothing that he does makes me look at him and say, that's a godly man. So maybe it's part of the deception. Maybe it's just... It's a pretty good excuse, I mean, if you think about it, because your God helped me. So he's recognizing that God's with his father. Yes? So even Jacob himself, in this case, he's pretending to be Esau. But even Jacob himself, has he acted in a follower of God, like God's with him so far, with the deception And thinks, no, he hasn't either. But you're right. In 28, he is going to finally recognize this is my God. Good point. So that's his first objection, and he gets a good answer. And then, is Isaac satisfied with that? Oh, so he says, please come near me that I can feel you, my son, whether you really are Esau or not. So Jacob goes near him, his father feels him, and then what does he say? The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. So remember the state that we have Isaac in now. Can he see well? He can't see well, right? But can he recognize the voice and that there's a difference? Yeah. But is his hearing probably diminished as well? Possibly. I mean, Dakin's not here, so I can't pick on him for being old, but possibly. But he realizes something's not right here, right? Yeah, it feels right, but it doesn't sound right. So if, Kurt, if your boys try to deceive you, would you recognize their voices? Okay. I would recognize Conrad's versus Chad's. Now, my dad, if it's on the phone, he's not going to know because any of the three of us answer. Hi, Chad. No, it's Jeff. So, you know, over the phone, you can get that. And so if you can't see, that's kind of like being over the phone. So maybe that's part of why he's struggling. But he does realize this isn't right. This doesn't sound like Esau. This sounds like Jacob. So then again, he says, are you really my son? So this is the third time, right? Are you really Esau? I am. So, I mean, he just flat out lying to him, right? Come near and kiss me. He's still not satisfied. He wants war proof. Come here and kiss me. So he came near and he kissed him. And what's he doing when he's kissing him? He's taking a whiff to see, is this my son? And he smelled him, and he smelled the clothing, and he ultimately blesses him because it doesn't sound like Esau, but it feels like Esau, and it smells like Esau, and it says it's Esau. So I'm going to go with it's Esau. So he blesses him. And I don't know at this point, I don't know because it doesn't say. But in my mind, I don't know that he's still totally convinced. Even though he has to be convinced enough to give the blessing, I guess. Kim. So, in the case of Kurt would not have expected Levi to pretend to be Clayton because they have no history of that. Is there? You have never pretended. Okay. But in this case, there was a history of deception. So he was kind of wondering. Yes. And that you make a great point with the expectation. Who had he told? He told Esau. Rebekah just happened over here. Would it make any sense for Jacob to have been coming at this time and bringing this meal? The only person that should have been bringing this meal should have been Esau. That's what Isaac would have expected. So that's a good point. Which then I think, you know, the voice who he did realize it and is more like, something's not right here. Jen. Yeah, it would seem logical. If I'm wondering, I might call Pam in and say, "Hey, Pam, I'm getting ready to bless Chad." I would hope she would say, "Well, that's Conrad." But in this case, she would have backed him up, and she would have made it even more believable. Yeah, that's him, because she was in on it. So now I want to point out two things that Phil Chumley was here last week and during class, and he made one observation that I need to correct from last time that just came to my head. I said if I gave you a stock tip and it multiplied 100-fold or 100%, you'd be happy. Well, 100% is not 100-fold. It's a lot greater than that. So he pointed out my math was incorrect there. But he also pointed out, went ahead and pointed out something. He's like, "So next week, bring this out." I'm like, "Okay." He said, "The lesson you can get from this, you can't trust your feelings." Isaac's trusting his feelings, literally. I thought that was kind of cute on his comment, "Don't trust your feelings." And I don't think I don't know whether he knew what he knew, but I think you're right. I think she's trying to fulfill what the Lord said, but she also has a favorite son. Yes. Wanting to help God, it seems like, at least to me, they're wanting to help God accomplish. What do you want? Kurt, did you have a. Okay. Clayton. So bottom line, God had a plan. It was going to be that way. Whether it went down this way, if they hadn't come up with this scheme, would Jacob still got the blessing? Yes, because God had said that's how it's going to be. Anyway, Peyton. Did you have something, Scott? Yeah, and I think that's the main thing. It was going to work out this way. They're helping along. They didn't need to. And waiting, as Kurt mentioned, I think that's something that a lesson in what can we gain from this? What can we apply in our lives? Learn to wait, right? Be patient, not try to force things to be the way we think God wants it to be. Okay, good point. And by the way, if I don't see your hand, I know I've been told I missed someone over here last week, so... I try, but I might miss you on occasion. Just be persistent. Just wait. Okay. So moving on now. So he's got the blessing. He leaves. And then it seems just he walks out the door, turns the corner, and then in comes his brother, right? Esau comes in immediately. When Esau returns, what's Isaac's reaction? Who are you? And he trembles violently because what does he realize? He had suspicion before, but what does he now know? I blessed the wrong person. That wasn't Esau. So he trembles violently. Who then is he who has taken venison and brought it to me? And I have eaten all of it before you came and have blessed him. And yes, he will be blessed. So he's saying, who then did this? Do you think he knew? I think Esau knows, because what's Esau's reaction? When he heard the words, he cries exceedingly a great and bitter cry, and said to his father, bless me. Still bless me too. And then he knows. He said, isn't he rightfully named Jacob? For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright. See, now he's taken away my blessing. And then, haven't you reserved anything for me? And then ultimately, Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing, which with his father blessed him. Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then I will kill my brother. So I'm not going to kill him while my dad's alive. But when dad passes away, I'm going to take back what's mine. And I'm going to kill my brother. Now again, we mentioned this last week. The picture's painted that Isaac is on his deathbed. But he lives a long time after this, right? So, would Esau have waited had Jacob stayed around? Esau doesn't seem like a very patient man. So maybe he maybe he wouldn't have. I don't know. What would have happened had he stayed around? But he's not going to, as we'll see shortly. So he asked him, "What blessing do you have for me?" And Isaac had told him, "I've given the blessing to him." Esau's weeping now, and then he does have a blessing for him, doesn't he? It's not necessarily what he wanted, though. Actually, I should have had a verse before that on there. Verse 39, "Behold, away from the fatness of the earth shall your dwelling be, and away from the dew of heaven on high." That's just the opposite of what his brother got, right? What was said of Jacob? "May God give you the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth." Here he says, you don't get that. But what does he get? Oops. That's the verse I had up. "By your sword you will live, and you will serve your brother. It will happen when you break loose that you shall break his yoke from off your neck." So what blessing does he have? You're going to live by your sword? That doesn't sound like that great a blessing. You're going to serve your brother? I don't think that's what he's looking for. Oh, there it is. Eventually, the yoke is going to be gone, and you're not going to have your brother's yoke on you. That's not a very good blessing. I guess it's something that, you know, ultimately I'll be free. But the blessing that Isaac had for him wasn't really what he was looking for. Now we see Esau being really upset here about losing out on the blessing. Does that seem at odds with what we've seen from Esau earlier? Earlier, what was he willing to sell his birthright for? A bowl of stew. It's like he didn't care. And now he's all upset. Why do you think that is? I think it's because he's short-sighted. Okay? Back then, I want that stew now. I don't care. I'm not looking forward to the future. I want it now. And now, here's the blessing being given. I don't think he's looking ahead again. I think he's saying, I was supposed to get it, and he got it. So he's angry in the moment. He's upset in the moment because he didn't get what he wanted. He didn't get what he thought he was going to get when he went out and hunted. So again, I don't know how much he's valuing it as much as he's just being a spoiled baby whiner. I mean, he should be upset. He is. But I don't know if he's upset because of he realizes now that it was really worth something, or if it's more, I didn't get what I wanted. I don't know. But that's speculation. Maybe I'm reading too much into to the previous encounter. Maybe he's learned more. But anyway, so his blessing is not really going to be that great of a blessing. Mike. So the birthright there was for food, and this again, there's food involved, right? Yeah. Well, and who knows what Esau's thinking of that blessing, right? He's like, I'm going to shake the yoke off my neck. I'm a man of war. Does that mean I'm going to kill him? Eventually, I'm going to get what I want now because, I don't know. But yeah, the picture changes when we get ahead and they do actually reconcile. So how did the deception impact the relationship? Well, we already mentioned that. He wants to kill him, right? He hates him, and I want to kill him. Have you ever been angry with your sibling? If you have a sibling, the answer is yes. Have you ever wanted to kill your sibling? The answer is no. Well, not really, but you may have said it. I think Esau meant it here, right? But there definitely would be enmity between the two. I mean, if you think of little siblings, when one takes the other's toy, they get upset. You took his inheritance. There's got to be strife here. So, anyway, he's going to plan on killing his brother. But then who hears about that?
The one that has very good hearing.
You watch some of these shows where you've got some matriarch and she's got all these little spies out. Rebecca kind of seems like that, doesn't she? Because she hears about it. Now, I doubt Esau told her, but she heard about it. So what am I going to do? I can't, what does she say? I can't lose both my sons. So she called and said, your brother comforts you by planning to kill him. So you need to delay lest I be bereft of both of you in one day, in verse 45. How would she be bereft of both of them? If Esau kills Jacob, she still got Esau?
Esau would be cursed,
and I think it may be, she may have already be viewing it that she's already lost Esau through this trickery, that his relationship has changed with his mother as well as with his brother. And we're going to see that with the choices that he makes, I think, and the type of person he is. But anyway, so she doesn't want Jacob dead. So she comes up with the solution. And her solution is what? Run. Jacob, you need to get out of here until your brother's anger turns away from you and he forgets what you have done. Leave till he forgets. And there's some logic to that, right? It's anger cool over time? Generally it does, right? I mean, we mentioned that cooling off period, right? But in this case, she has a plan. Now, therefore, arise, flee to Laban, my brother, in Haran. Stay with him a few days. Until your brother's fury turns away, until your brother's anger turns away from you, and he forgets what you've done to him. Then I'll send and get you from there. Why should I be bereaved of both of you? So just go down there for a few days. Stay with my brother. So is that a good plan? Could have been. He's going to calm down in a few days. So that was her her plan. So how's she going to get that? Can she just send him away? No, she has to involve Isaac again, right? So Rebecca said to Isaac, "I'm weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth." Who are the daughters of Heth that we're talking about here? Esau's brides, Esau's wives. I'm weary of my life because of them. If Jacob takes a wife of the daughters of Heth, such as these, of the daughters of the land, what good will my life do me? So Esau is made poor decisions. We can't let Jacob marry these women. So we need to send him away to find a good wife. So she tells that to him, and it's pretty logical, isn't it? I mean, I could see him buying this one. Because where did he get his wife? Same place, right? So send him to go get a wife. And then, of course, the difference here is Isaac wasn't sent. A servant was sent. But Jacob's going to be sent in this case. And again, just go down there for a few days, and I'll call you back. How long will those few days end up being? When Jacob leaves, he tells Laban, "These 20 years I've been with you. Your ewes and your female goats have not cast their young, and I haven't eaten the rams of your flock." 20 years. Go down there for a few days until he calms down. It's 20 years later. And there's no mention of Rebecca ever seeing Jacob again. Could they have seen each other? Maybe, but she may have never saw him again because it's not mentioned.
So it could be that God is having Jacob take his own medicine, and he pays in some ways for his deception. Which I know is not study all. So that's a possibility. But the other observation that I thought was interesting is twice in that text where it says, "Obey my voice."
I mean, we do look at it and we say it's a patriarchal period. The man was the head of the house. He was kind of the ruler, the leader. But she was pulling some strings in how things went, and she had the respect of Jacob. Jacob respected her as well. So he did listen to her. He did heed her advice. Travis. Go get a good wife from my family. Go get one someone like me.
But that's what happens when you're practicing deception. If you're used to that, you don't think about the hypocrisy that can create. And it's clearly the case.
Laban's not going to be a straightforward guy either, is he? So there does seem to be a family trait, if you will, with this family. So good points. Good points. Anything else on the blessing? And we'll go ahead and we'll get started on the next lesson, which fortunately we aren't getting into too much because my questions and my notes are at home. apparently I didn't print them. But anyway, so we'll begin. We'll read the first 5 verses of chapter 28, I did print that. Okay. Isaac called Jacob, blessed him, and commanded him, "You shall not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Paddan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, your mother's father. Take a wife from there, from the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother. May God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and multiply you, and you may be that you may be a company of peoples, and give you the blessing of Abraham to you and to your offspring with you, that you may inherit the land where you travel, which God gave to Abraham." Isaac sent Jacob away. He went to Paddan Aram to Laban, the son of Bethuel the Syrian, the brother of Rebekah, Jacob and Esau's mother. Oh, I guess I had it on the slide. So, what instruction does Jacob give him? Go and get a wife from your mom's people. Take a wife from your, what relations is this going to be? Go marry a cousin. Okay? Go marry a cousin is the instructions. And we think of that, I'm thinking, my cousins? That seems so wrong. Wasn't a thing there, right? And it's not a thing everywhere either, right? Are there countries where that would not be uncommon? Are there states where... actually, I don't know. Is it legal anywhere in any state for cousins? I didn't look that up. I think it is. So it's not something we're comfortable with, but something that even could happen. But at this time, there would have been nothing taboo about that. So go get a wife from there. And as Scott mentioned, it doesn't, it just goes on. The story goes on. He deceived him, and then I think this is pretty short order because his mom's wanting him to get away from there. So then his father's like, go and take a wife. Why wasn't anything said, about the deception? Maybe there was, and it wasn't recorded. Maybe Isaac is taking the same approach that he told Esau. I blessed him, and he's blessed. I can't take it back. So maybe I can't take it back. So what point is there to rehash it? But for whatever reason, maybe he's asked something, maybe he doesn't. But he's going to send him away and to take a wife away from here. So we'll wrap up there, and next week I'll probably go ahead and send out questions for chapter 29, even though we're almost a full lesson behind, because I don't know how much we'll have to discuss next week. So I will probably send out questions for 29, but we'll begin next week. Thanks.